Praise God. We are going to open our Bibles this morning, and we are going to be starting in Psalm 37. Psalm 37, and I am titling the message this morning, Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. And of course, before we read even one verse, we are going to pray one more time. Father in heaven, we thank Thee this day that Thou hast given us this precious book. We thank Thee for this opportunity to open Thy Word. And we pray, Lord, that Thy Spirit would truly be here upon each and every one of us. Give us all that blessed Holy Ghost that we so need in these days. We pray, Lord, that Thou would guide us as we look at Thy Scriptures. We pray that Thou would anoint our minds and make us able to understand Thy Word. For we know, O God, we can't understand anything. We have no ability to discern without Thy Spirit and without Thy help. So we pray, Lord, that Thy hand would be upon each and every one of us here today. We ask, O God, that Thou would move in our souls, Lord, and inspire us to follow Thee more closely, to be obedient to Thy prompting, and to put our trust fully and completely in Thee. We pray, Lord, that there would be no hindrances here this morning, but let Thy Spirit have free course. We bind and we break any force of darkness, any hindering power that would come against us. For we know, O God, that Thou art greater than every spirit in this universe. And we pray, O God, that Thou would give us ears to see, hear, eyes to see, hearts that would perceive and understand. And we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Trust in the Lord. And we're going to be starting in Psalm 37 to begin with. You know, we live in a country where they're having a big election on Tuesday, and a lot of people are freaking out about it. And you're getting phone calls and text messages and emails from all these places, and, you know, vote for our guy. No, vote for our guy. Well, you know what? I don't put my faith and my trust in men. I put my faith and my trust in the Lord. And that is something that we all need to do. You know, no matter who gets in there, our trust should always be in the Lord, not in politicians. And we're going to see in Psalm 37 that trusting in the Lord is always the right thing to do, and we're going to see that we should not be worried or afraid. Psalm 37, verse 1 tells us, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb." Now, of course, we live in a world, and this has been the case for thousands of years, but we live in a world that is full of evildoers. We can see all the evil around us. We can see the wickedness that is happening every day. And if you happen to be in doubt of that fact, just read my latest newsletter. In fact, that newsletter is called A Time of Continual Evil, because the time period we live in today is very much like the days of Noah, when there was just evil and wickedness continually everywhere. We see that all over the place. So yes, there are evildoers doing wicked things. But what does this scripture tell us right here in verse 1? Fret not. Don't worry. God is in control. Trust in the Lord. That is the best thing you can do. Get in His Word, learn His Scriptures, be prayed up, be strong, be filled with His Spirit, and fret not. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. You know, there are evildoers, and it seems like they're getting away with everything, doesn't it? All kinds of nonsense. But they're not going to get away with anything. God, our righteous judge, is going to hold everyone accountable on judgment day. Sometimes judgment even falls in this life, but if it doesn't for a particular person, don't worry. God knows what to do. He's never wrong. Verse 2, "For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb." Oh yes, our time in this world is so short. We don't know how long we're going to live in this world, but even if you live to be 100, even if you live to be 120, that's just a tiny, tiny little piece of time. And our lives really are so short. In fact, in James chapter 4, verses 13 through 15, it says, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that." Our lives really, in the big scheme of things, are so short. But the good news is the next one is eternal. It's unending. And it's going to be far better than this one. Praise God. Of course, we know that. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 24 through 25, it tells us, "For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." You know, I don't know how much longer this world is going to last. And if you listen to the climate change alarmists, they say we have just 12 years left to fix climate change. You know, they're always moving the dates. They're date setters, really. Like I said last week, they remind me of these preachers who try to set a time for the return of the Lord. Nobody knows the day or the hour, but people sure have tried, haven't they? And they keep saying with climate change, "Oh, we've got 10 years. 10 years goes by, and say, "Oh, we've only got 10 years. And, you know, every 10 years, it's 10 years, 12 years, whatever the case may be. Well, they've been wrong on numerous occasions. And it's interesting, too, because as I mentioned in the newsletter, the UN says the way we can effectively stop climate change is, guess how they want to do it? A carbon tax. Tax. They think tax is going to save this world. Isn't that crazy? But, you know, they worry about this world ending, and they say climate change is going to do it. And isn't it something, you know, for years and years, Christians have said that this world isn't going to last forever, that Jesus is going to come back. And that is still true, by the way. Yes, and, you know, these people that say, "Oh, you're being ridiculous, you know, you're a gloom and doomer." But what about these climate change extremists? Are they not the gloom and doomers? And they don't even offer any hope, do they? At least we know that even though this world isn't going to last forever, we have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Our lives are short. This planet will not last forever. It's going to wax old like a garment, it tells us in the book of Isaiah. But we don't have to worry about that. Why? Because we are trusting in the Lord. Verse 3 in Psalms 37 tells us, "Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed." Now, how is it possible that we, who once were sinners, can even do good? It's not because of our own goodness, but our goodness comes from the Lord. In fact, Psalms 53 verses 1 through 3 tell us, "The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they, and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand, that did seek God. Every one of them is gone back. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one." That is the natural state of man in a fallen world. And yet, we have the ability to do good. Why? Because of Jesus Christ. Because of His Spirit. Because of the strength and the endurance that He gives us. And because we are trusting in the Lord. You know, you can't do good if you're not trusting in the Lord. People might try. And they might think they're doing good. But really, all goodness comes from the Lord. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Praise God. It should be a delight serving the Lord each and every day. You know, when you wake up in the morning and you remember that you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, that you've been adopted by Him, that should thrill your soul. That should thrill you to your very core. That you know God, the almighty creator of this universe who made all things, that you know Him and He knows you, and you can have a personal relationship with Him. What a thought! Oh yes, that should be thrilling. That should be a delight to us. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. You know, people sometimes think of God as a magic genie. You know, you get the lamp and you rub it and the genie comes forward, gives you three wishes, and it has to do whatever you want. People think of God in that way. They think, God has to do whatever I want Him to do. If I ask for something, He has to give it. That's the attitude of a lot of people. But what does this verse tell us? It says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. That qualifier there is very important. You must delight yourself in the Lord, and when you do that, your will be aligned with His will, and the desires of your heart will be good things. First and foremost, the greatest desire of your heart will be to know the Lord better, to be closer to the Lord. If someone only desires material things, that is a sign and an indicator that they are not delighting themselves in the Lord. But if you delight yourself in the Lord, if you seek the kingdom of God first, then everything else will fall into place. We will be fed spiritually, but He will also take care of our material needs as well. Verse 5. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Oh yes, it's so important to trust in the Lord. We look at this country and we see all the hatred and the animosity, and it seems like things are just being ripped to shreds and everything is falling apart, and people might throw their arms up and wonder, what should I do? I'll tell you what you should do. Trust in the Lord. And people might say, well, my family's not getting along. What should I do? Trust in the Lord. People might say, my coworkers are jerks. What should I do? Trust in the Lord. Always trust in the Lord. He can make a way where there is no way. He can talk to people's souls. He can change hearts. And He can make everything better. Verse 6. And He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Yes, we live in a world where there are wicked devices all over the place, and they're always making more, aren't they? They're always inventing new wicked devices. You look at these tech companies, and they're coming out with new products that are designed to track you, to spy on you, to watch you every move you make. Oh yes, wicked devices. There are more and more of them all the time. You got companies like Google who are on the forefront of that. And, you know, they're going to do what they will do. But don't worry about it. Don't fret. Instead, rest in the Lord. And wait patiently for Him. Our rest is in the Lord. Our rest is in Jesus Christ. He gives us rest for our souls. And that is because He is our Sabbath. Jesus Christ is our Sabbath. Remember, all of that old covenant law pointed forward to Jesus Christ, and that includes the Sabbath. And the rest we have in Him is far better than just sitting still and doing nothing for a day. And, you know, these Jewish people, they get so into that. A lot of them won't even flip a light switch because they say that's the same as kindling a fire. And they have to make all of their meals in advance. And then they get into a big debate. Well, should I walk to synagogue or drive to synagogue? Which is more work? You know, so they struggle on keeping that Sabbath in a physical sense. And really, that's something that's been going on for a long time, too. Jesus, he told them that they weren't really keeping the Sabbath. But we rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. We die to our old works, our old sins. And when we do that, we are resting in Him. We are resting in the Lord. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Don't worry, don't fret. Those who do these wicked things will be brought to judgment. That is guaranteed. Verse 8. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Now that's a good verse for today, isn't it? Because we live in a country today where people are so angry, they are full of wrath, and they get these wicked imaginations in their head, don't they? And before long, they're doing wicked things. There are parts of this country, certain cities such as Portland, Oregon, where people are brawling in the streets. It happens all the time because people are filled with wrath. But this verse tells us, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Praise God. Oh, yes, we will inherit the earth. But you know what? It's not talking about this one. It's talking about the next one. That is the earth that we are going to inherit. A new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Verse 10. But yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. You look at all these powerful people, these elitists. They're not going to live forever. They're going to expire. And people who have a lot of riches but don't know the Lord, and they might have power and fame, they might have all of those things, but if they don't know the Lord, they really have nothing, because they will expire one day and they will have to stand before the Lord in judgment. And you're not going to be able to buy off God. You're not going to be able to offer Him silver and gold or try to slip some Benjamin Franklin's under the table. The Lord doesn't care about any of that. Why would He? He's the creator of the universe. If He wants gold, He can speak it into existence.
That's right.
In fact, it tells us there's going to be a lot of gold in heaven. Streets of gold. But yes, in just a little while, the wicked shall not be. You know, those who belong to the Lord, we have so much to look forward to. An eternity with our Savior. An eternity in the presence of the Lord. But they have nothing to look forward to. All they have right now is all they will ever have. And if you look at a lot of these people, they're lost, they're aimless, they're bored with life, they're unhappy. You can look at celebrities sometimes, too, and they have so much money and so much fame, but does that make them happy? No. What we really need to do, what we all need to do, is trust in the Lord.
Amen.
For yet a little while, it tells us in verse 10, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Oh, the abundance of peace. God has peace for us. And it comes abundantly because Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. People may seek peace in this world, but they will never, ever find it without the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a false peace in this world. UN style. They say they came to establish lasting peace, but have they? Since the United Nations came along, there's been more wars than ever. But of course, you know, the difference is their bullets are peaceful bullets, right? You know, peace comes from the Lord. True, genuine peace. A peace that passes all understanding. Verse 12. The wicked plotteth against the just and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. Oh, do you think there's any of that going on? It happens every day. These wicked plotting against the just. But you know what? The Lord sees that. Nothing is hidden from the Lord. And it tells us in verse 13, the Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. For all of these wicked evildoers, their day is coming. And that day is a day of judgment. Verse 14, the wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy, and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. I tell you what, if God has given you the Holy Ghost, that's more valuable than every dollar in the world. Verse 17, for the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. You know, we do have struggles and fights in this world, and that should be expected. But the Lord holds us up. He pulls us up. He reaches down from heaven and takes us by the hand. And when he does that, suddenly we have the strength to endure all things. Verse 18, the Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. Forever. Praise God. Heaven's not going to be a temporary existence. It's not for a limited time only. It is forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. And you can look at that in more than one way. He's able to provide food for us in days of famine, but he's also able to provide for us spiritually, to give us spiritual food, even when there's a spiritual famine. Those who trust in the Lord shall be satisfied. Verse 20, but the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume into smoke. Into smoke shall they consume away. Oh, yes. Their time of pleasure, their time of riches is so temporary. And, you know, when they used to sacrifice those lambs and put it on the altar, the fat would burn away, it would smoke. And the scriptures here are telling us that the enemies of the Lord are going to be like that. They're going to burn up like that fat of a lamb. They're going to be consumed into smoke, and they will just fade off into the distance. And unfortunately, those who know not the Lord, they're going to wake up in eternity in hell, and that's somewhere none of us want to be, because you can't even really describe how horrible it is with words. Verse 21, the wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. We've probably all had someone do that to us at one point or another, where they borrow something and never pay you back. And, you know, it doesn't feel great, but it tells us, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. And that's one of the traits of God's people. We are willing to help one another and so willing to give, and that's the way it should be. If we see someone in the body of Christ struggling, if they have a need, we should all be willing to pull together and help them with that need, whatever it might be. Verse 22, for such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Isn't that quite a thought? Even our very steps, ordered by the Lord. And that can only happen, though, if you let him lead, if you trust in the Lord. If you're self-willed, he cannot order your steps. But we need to let him do that because he knows exactly what we need to do and where we need to go. There's only so much we can see in this world, and it's not very much at all because we can only see what's in front of our faces. But we serve a God who sees this entire planet all at once, and he always knows the right thing to do. And sometimes, even when it seems like things are going wrong and you wonder, why do these bad things happen to me, he's actually helping you. Because there are things that we can't see. I've heard many people over the years give a testimony where they say, I tried to go to work in the morning and I couldn't start my car. And I thought, oh, why did this happen to me? And then later I found out just down the road there was a car accident and that could have been me. Sometimes when it seems like things are going wrong, that is actually the Lord helping you. You see, we can't see very much, but he sees this entire universe, he sees this entire planet, and he knows how to move all the pieces around. And when you trust in him, he will help you. Verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. Notice here, this is an interesting verse, isn't it? Verse 24, though he fall, and this is talking about good men and women. And we do struggle in this world. We have to fight sometimes. But you know what? It tells us, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. Why? For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. When you trust in the Lord, if you find yourself falling, he will reach down and he will pick you up if you let him. Verse 25, I have been young and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Praise God. Depart from evil and do good, and dwell forevermore. You see, when you depart from evil and do good, then you can dwell forevermore. In eternity, in heaven, you can be with the Lord forever. But sin cannot dwell in heaven. Sin cannot exist in heaven. Sin cannot exist in the presence of God. Verse 28, for the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. Of course, we see that word saints there, and that does not refer to those Catholic saints, which are really just little lesser gods that people pray to. That's not what it's referring to. Saints refers to God's people. And if you're not a saint while you're alive, you're never going to be a saint later. Verse 29, the righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. You see, when the Lord orders your steps won't slide. And you might fall and stumble a little bit, but he'll pull you up. Verse 32, the wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. Oh yes, the wicked will be cut off. That day is coming. All of the wicked will be cut off. I have seen the wicked in great power. Well, so have we. And spreading himself like a Green Bay tree. I suppose maybe they have some nice trees up in Green Bay, but that's probably not what it's talking about here. But they spread themselves. They think they're so powerful. They think they're so strong. Like a mighty tree that spreads itself and grows. But their time will have an end. Verse 36, yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright. For the end of that man is peace. You see, when you trust in the Lord, that is your end, peace. And there is no peace greater than the peace you are going to feel when you are in the presence of the Lord in eternity in heaven. That is the ultimate peace. Verse 38, but the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. Note here, there is going to be a time of trouble. We all go through seasons in this life. Seasons of plenty, seasons of want, seasons of trouble sometimes. But the Lord will help us. He is our strength in the time of trouble. Praise the Lord. Verse 40, and the Lord shall help them and deliver them, but he shall deliver them from the wicked and save them. Why? Because they trust in him. Oh, yes, we need to trust the Lord. Let's look at Psalm 20 for a moment. Psalm 20. And, you know, sometimes I'm just amazed at the way scriptures flow together. You can read a chapter and then you find another chapter that just works together with that other chapter so flawlessly and perfectly. And that's because the Word of God is perfect. The Word of God is ordained. This is His living Word. Oh, yes. And I'm going to turn now to Psalm 20 because it fits so well with what we just read in Psalm 37. Psalm 20, verse 1 tells us, the Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the Lord, the name of the God of Jacob, defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. Remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifice, Selah. And of course, we know that we don't offer burnt sacrifices anymore, but we do offer sacrifices of praise and worship. Grant thee according to thine own heart and fulfill all thy counsel. We will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Oh yes, we trust in the Lord. Don't put your trust in man. Don't put your trust in politicians. Don't put your trust in celebrities. You know, some people do that. They look to these celebrities for guidance. But they are just human beings the same as everyone else. We look to the Lord. We don't look to the arm of flesh to save us. In fact, in Psalm 118, verses 8 through 9, it tells us it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. I know Donald Trump says he wants to make America great again, but there's no man that can make this country great again. The only one who can make this country great is the Lord. And for that to happen, we have to have people on a whole-scale level repent of their sins and trust in the Lord. That is the only thing that is going to make this country great. Verse 7, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Save, Lord, let the King hear us when we call. And He will. He will hear us. He hears every cry. You know, when the Israelites were in bondage and they were suffering in Egypt, God heard every cry. He was keeping track, and He delivered His people by a mighty hand. He will deliver us the same way. Let's look at Jeremiah now, chapter 17. Jeremiah 17, for just a few verses. Jeremiah 17, and we're going to start with verse 5, which tells us, Thus saith the Lord, Cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. You know, there are people out there who think that they're going to take on the New World Order with their weapons cache, all their guns that they've stored up. And if you want to have a gun, that's fine. I don't have a problem with it. I do believe in the Second Amendment. But just keep in mind that those weapons can't save you. And don't put your trust in those weapons. Put your trust in the Lord. Verse 6, For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. Of course, a heath refers to dry, overgrown desert shrubs. Verse 7, Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. We don't just hope in the Lord. He is our hope. Whose hope the Lord is. He is our hope. Just like He is our peace. Verse 8, For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when he cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. And when it says shall not be careful, what it's referring to there is shall not be worried. Even in the time of drought, we don't have to worry because we serve Almighty God. He'll find a way to take care of us. He always has and He always will. Verse 9, The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And of course, we live in a world where what do they always tell you? Follow your heart. Bad plan. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. So we shouldn't put our trust in our own hearts. But we put our trust in God and let Him give us a new heart. Verse 10, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. As the partridge sitteth on eggs and hatcheth them not, so he that getteth riches and not by right shall leave them in the midst of his days, and at his end shall be a fool. And that goes right along with Psalm 37, doesn't it? People who hoard these riches and they put their trust in those riches. In fact, the Apostle Paul told us not to trust in uncertain riches, but some people do that. They think, oh, I've got all of these riches, I'm going to be okay. But, you know, when it comes to material things, there's absolutely nothing that we have in this world that couldn't be taken away tomorrow. You know, even our homes that we live in, the government can come along and say, well, eminent domain, we're kicking you out. But we trust the Lord that that won't happen. and that if it does happen, he'll give us somewhere else to live. You see, when you trust in the Lord, it always works out. But people, they try to hoard these riches and they trust in those riches. But you can't take it with you. When people leave this world, they don't take anything with them except the salvation of the Lord, if you have it. Except those treasures that you have been accruing in heaven. When you pray and when you seek the Lord and read His scriptures and you help others, when you do that, you're building up treasures in heaven. And that is so much better than treasures in this world. Praise God. Verse 12. A glorious high throne from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed, and they that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. Oh, those living waters are so wonderful, aren't they? Those living waters that come forth from the Lord Jesus, His Spirit, the Holy Ghost that comes to live inside us. Those are living waters.
Amen.
It's not stagnant, standing water. It's living water.
Yes.
And it is wonderful. But it tells us in this verse that there are those who have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. Verse 14, heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for Thou art my praise. He can heal us, and He can save us. Nobody else can heal you, and nobody else can save you. You know, people might go to doctors sometimes and think, oh, the doctor's going to heal me. The doctor cannot heal you. The doctor can treat you, but he cannot heal you. Only God can heal you. And there is no one else who can save you. Only God can save you. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved. For Thou art my praise. Oh, He is our praise. Behold, they say unto me, where is the word of the Lord? Let it come now. As for me, I have not hastened from being a pastor to follow thee, neither have I desired the woeful day. Thou knowest that which came out of my lips was right before thee. Be not a terror unto me. Thou art my hope in the day of evil. He is our hope, our only hope. Even in the day of evil, He is our hope. And that's good, because this is an evil day we're living in right now. Let them be confounded that persecute me, but let not me be confounded. Let them be dismayed, but let not me be dismayed. Bring upon them the day of evil and destroy them with double destruction. You see, that is what will happen to those who do not put their trust in the Lord. They will be confounded. They will be dismayed. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 for a moment. Second Corinthians chapter 4. And we're going to start with verse 7, which tells us, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Oh yes, we need His power. We can't put our trust in ourselves. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. Oh yes, we do live in a world that's troubling. Troubling on every side. But despite that trouble, we are not distressed. And it can be confusing sometimes. We can be perplexed. But we don't have to be in despair. And there is persecution in this world. Some places more than others. But even if we are persecuted, we are not forsaken. Even if we are cast down, we're not destroyed. Why? Because we know the Lord, and our faith, and our hope, and our trust is in Him. Let's go now to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. We're going to start with verse 4 in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4 verse 4 tells us, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Oh yes, we should rejoice in the Lord. If you are trusting in the Lord today, you will rejoice in the Lord. In fact, He gives us a joy unspeakable and full of glory. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. In other words, He's saying, don't worry about anything. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. When you realize, when you come to the realization that God is working in you and that He cares for you and that He lifts us up when we are down, and when we realize that we can come to Him with thankful hearts and bring all of our petitions and our requests before Him and know that He hears them, then you are going to be filled with that great joy. Because you are trusting in the Lord. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I love this verse because it tells us the Lord is not only going to keep our hearts, but He is going to keep our minds. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Oh, it's such a wonderful thing to think about all of the good things that God has done for us. And I can't help but marvel sometimes on how the Lord has helped us. In fact, this church was born on miracles, really. When you learn of the history of how it all came to be, how Mom and Dad, and they were in their 20s, I believe, and they were driving along one day, and they got a flat tire and ended up in a little town called Beaver Dam to get it fixed. And they felt a pull from the Lord calling them to this little town. And then they knew that they would need a home, and they wanted to establish a church. And they didn't really have any money at all. They were very little. But they were trusting in the Lord. And of course they knew they were going to need a house. And there happened to be a house. And it was available. But there were a lot of people that wanted this house. And my parents were told, you can't have this house unless we draw your name. So they did their little drawing, and my parents' name came up. And then they said, you can't have this house because your income is too low. So they did another drawing. My parents' name came up again. And they said, you still can't have this house. Your income is too low. So they did a third drawing. And their name came up again. Finally, the guy in charge came out and said, I'm giving them this house. You see, folks, that is a miracle. And that is what happens when you trust in the Lord. I can't help but think, you know, it was almost 40 years later when it was time for me to buy my first home. And, you know, Leah, she was looking up homes and she found this one and felt drawn to it. And she said, let's go look at this house. So we went and we looked at it. And, you know, we started thinking about it. And we thought, you know, we want this house. But at this point, we hadn't even talked to a loan officer. And we got in touch with a realtor, but I don't think she was taking us very seriously at all. She was asking, well, do you have a letter from a bank or a credit union or something? Oh, no, we haven't talked to them yet. And, you know, we went and we talked to people at Summit Credit Union, and there's this woman there. She was very nice. And it was just amazing the way everything fell into place. And, you know, before I left, one of her questions was, well, how much do you want? And we were able to get that house. And, you know, you just realize that it was the Lord who orchestrated the whole thing. And we bought that house at just a perfect time because right after that, everything started going up. Interest rates, the housing market, the cost of houses shot right up right after we bought that house. And we got it just in the nick of time, because other people were suddenly trying to get that house, but the Lord meant it for us. You see, that's what happens when you trust in the Lord. And really, it is amazing. This ministry here has been in operation continuously now, I think, for 44 years. You see, that's what happens when you trust the Lord. We know that. We know that's why we're still here. We don't trust in man. We don't trust in ourselves. We don't trust in flesh. But we trust in a living God. And I believe that He is going to sustain His church. And I tell you what, as long as I'm alive, this is exactly where I intend to be, right here. Because this is where I know I belong. But it's wonderful to think of the good things that God has done for us. I'll read that verse again, Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, you and the God of peace shall be with you. Praise God, and I hope you all believe that. Oh yes, the Lord will help His people if we just trust Him. Trust in the Lord.
Sam.
Praise
Sam.
God.
Sam?
Yeah.
Could you please sing some Trust in Chariots?
You know, that was actually the one I picked out.
That song
I picked it up. We were going to do that one. And it's number 20 in the chorus book, I think. But we are going to pray before we sing our closing song. Father in heaven, we come before Thee in prayer this morning, thanking Thee for Thy goodness. Thanking Thee, O God, for all that Thou hast done for us. And we pray, Lord, that Thou would help us to put our full and complete trust in Thee, to believe on Thee. For we know, O God, that even when things are uncertain, that Thou holdest this whole planet in Thy hands, and we know that Thou can do all things. We believe on Thee. We trust Thee, Lord. Help us to walk with Thee for the entirety of our lives. We ask for Thy blessing to be upon our lives, and help us to always be mindful of Thee and thankful for what Thou hast done. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. And yes, that's the chorus I had picked out anyway, so praise God. Let's see. Okay. Need to find the number. I guess it's 19, not 20. It's number 19. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Now know why that the Lord saved His anointed. You will hear Him from His holy heaven with the saving strength of His right hand. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Some trust in chariots, some in horses, we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Now know why that the Lord saved His anointed. We are living and stand upright. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. We will remember the name of the Lord our God. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name.
Thank you.